إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، we give thanks to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. We ask for His salat and His salam on Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى increase our iman and preserve the life of every one of us. Inshallah, we continue from at the last point of this discussion from the book Usul Sunnah by Al Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala. In our last discussion, we talked about the point 31, where Al Imam established one of the fundamentals of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah in relation to the to the leaders and the people at the realm of the authority of the state, the Muslim leaders. We made us to understand that in Islam, once the leader is chosen for the Muslim community, then it becomes mandatory upon every individual in the society to listen and obey to the instructions of the leaders. So far, they do not invite to the transgression of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala gave us another point. And this point points to the responsibilities of the leaders. When we make someone to be our state leader, what should be of his responsibilities, the assignment of the leaders? As we all know that leaders uphold the khilafa, they uphold the state of the vigilance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the surface of the earth. قال الإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى والغصب ما بين الأمراء إلى يوم القيامة البري والفاجر لا يترك. He said والغصب ما بين, that is it is a fundamental under the teachings of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that any kind of war, the battle to be established should be from the leader and they are the ones to command or to instruct the Muslims soldiers to go into war. This is the Islamic principle. والغصب ما بين مع الأمراء. And at any time when they invite or they call for religious work, or what they call the Islamic Jihad, then the leader, the populace must obey them. This is the Islamic induction, مع الأمراء. This إلى يوم القيامة, and this is what it should be to the end of the world. This is the Islamic induction to the end of the world. Al-Barri wal-Fajr, even if the leaders are not that righteous, or they are righteous, so this does not have any implication, except the masses and notice in them the sign of disbelief. Maybe they observed, or even the leaders themselves have declared themselves to be disbelievers. Without this, so far they are still the Muslim leaders, then it becomes incumbent upon every Muslim to obey, to listen and obey their commands. So this is the point of Ahl-Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We can see that this point of Ahl-Sunnah wal Jama'ah establishes the fact that when someone is made to be the leader among the Muslims, then we have to obey, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in the Quran. أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا who the believers, أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ obey Allah and obey the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ and the people and the realm of leadership, you should obey them. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ it becomes an obligation upon you to listen to them and to obey them. So the only clause that will make the Muslim community not to obey their leaders is when the leaders are calling to disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are calling to disbelief. They are calling to the transgression of the limit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But without this, it is compulsory upon the Muslims to obey them. And this obedience is not restricted to any angle. No, it involves every angle, even when there's need for war. When there's need for war, the Muslims must obey their leaders. And by this, we understand that it is not appropriate in Islamic settings that every group, every society will now they will call for war, they will call for jihad, which is being widespread throughout all over the world. Many wars. Or let's say 99.9 wars that people engage themselves in nowadays, they are un-Islamic. Yes, Islam has nothing to do with them, because all these wars are engineered by the leaders of the groups, the group leaders or the society leaders. So this has no basis in Islam. It has no basis in Islam. What Islam is saying is as regard to the Muslim government. For instance, like Saudi Arabia. For instance, like Qatar and some other Islamic countries. So when they call for jihad or war, then the Muslims should obey them. That is, the Muslims within the scope of their community should obey them. But to have this society or that society or that group organizing a war, this is not Islam. This is the way of the Khawarij, the way of the Khawarij. And this is the essence of adding this fundamental to be part of the fundamentals of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. As we normally say, that Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah are different from other sects and other groups. Yes, in all angles, they are different. They are not like other groups in terms of belief, in terms of al-Iman, in terms of the actions of the extremists, in terms of the their relationship with the leaders, unlike the Khawarij. You know, the Khawarij did not listen to the leader, let alone to talk of giving them their obedience. They don't. They don't. The Khawarij, they are extremists. They went to war against the Muslim government, the Muslim community. There are many examples like that. So like in the case of the Boko Haram, look at the Boko Haram, the ISIS, the Al-Qaeda, the Shabab in Sudan, and some other places. Something of that nature happened some few days in Niger, where some extreme groups came into the city to wage war against the existing government in order to take over of the control of the affairs, of the state affairs. So many people were killed. The foreign, I think the defense minister of Niger was also killed in the process. But many of those extremists were also killed. This is not Islam. That is not Islam. Like in Nigeria, where we experience on daily basis the case of ISWAP, ISIS, what do you call it, Boko Haram. This is not. This has no basis in Islam. That is why Islam recognizes the constituted authority. Once the leadership has been chosen, has been established, then the Muslims must obey. The Muslims must obey. But to have some groups under a community, and those groups are now operating like the people at the realm of the leadership, this is against the Islamic inductions. Let alone to talk of them commanding their members to wage war against the existing government. This is not Islam. This is the way of the Khawarij. Yes, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes the Khawarij, he said, Al Khawarij Kilabun Nab. Khawarij are the dog, they are the dogs of hellfire. The dogs of hellfire. That means, you know, they are not good people. They work to end the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some narrations, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَيْنْ لَقَيْتُهُمْ. If he had the opportunity to meet any one of those extremists, those who did not give their obedience to the constituted authority, لَأَقْتُلَنَّهُمْ قَتْلَعَدْ. He said he will kill every one of them. He will fight against them as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had dealt with the people of Ad. So the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah will subscribe and maintain the leadership of the state, even to the level that if the leader is known to be someone that perpetrates certain acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like drinking of alcohol, smoking cigarettes, like not being dutiful to his injunctions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So far, if Islam is still established, then nothing should be done against him. Nothing should be done against him. And that is not a reference for the Muslims who are not in the Muslim community, who are not in the Muslim country, to wage war against their leader. No, it is not their duty. It is not their responsibility. like those in America, like those in Europe, and some other places. Yes, in fact, Islam expects the Muslims in those areas to obey the leaders, the non-Muslim leaders. Yes, except what they call to is against Allah's injunctions. If they ask them not to observe Salat, or if they ask them to denounce Islam, no, they would rather leave the place. They would rather leave the place than to accept that offer. So they must not abandon their religion just because the non-Muslim leader has commanded that. They must not do that. They would rather leave the place for a better place for them to observe their religion. So whichever instructions that those leaders lay down in terms of welfareism, state welfareism, in terms of security, in terms of good living and well-being of every individual in the society, then they must concoct to that. They must not go against that. For instance, they ask them not to cross the express road, rather to pass through the pedestrian bridge. They must obey, and they must obey. And any Muslim that disobeys is liable for punishment. So this is Islam. And you can see how Islam is so organized, Islam is not a religion of the mosque alone. Islam also has rules and regulations on guiding the society and the well-being of every individual. So if, as we said, if the Muslim leaders are not that upright, yes, they are found here and there humanizing, committing illegal sexual intercourse. They are found here and there drinking of alcohol. They are found here and there not being punctual in their five daily prayers. They are still Muslims. They are still Muslims. Yes, we owe them our obedience. We owe them our obedience. So it is not an excuse for us to use it as the reference point to tackle them, to against them, to wage war against them, as in the way of the extremists, the Khawarij, the Kharijites. This is not Islam. This is not Islam. Islam calls for peaceful living. Islam calls for peaceful living and sustainable harmony among the people. Every individual will live peacefully. That is what Islam is campaigning for. That is what Islam is campaigning for. Islam does not campaign for chaos, trouble here and there, war here and there, and so on and so forth. That is not the message of Islam. In fact, what we call jihad in Islam has various meanings. Yes, we have some orientalists, because in their way of calling Islam a bad name, they will say Islam does not know anything that jihad, that to kill the non-Muslim. That if you like, accept Islam, or you allow your head to be beheaded. No, this is not Islam. And there's no anything of that nature in the message of Islam. Yes, Islam has a form of jihad that has to do with the protecting the security of the state, against the external attack, or even against the internal attack. That is Islam. Islam is not just observance of Salat alone, or fasting in the month of Ramadan alone. Islam is a body of organization, is a body of rules and regulations that guide both in service of Salat in the masjid and the out service of the masjid, the society as a whole. So there's nothing of state affairs, the individual affairs, the personal law, that Islam does not have rules and regulations and the Christians fall. It's nothing. So Islam should not be compared with some other religions that do not have anything to offer than going to the place of worship. No, that is not Islam. Yes, even in marketplaces, in financial homes, on economic issues, on international policies, name it, Islam has rules and regulations, dictations on how to go about every one of them. Yes, when if you go to Europe, in England, you will see banks operating under the scope of Sharia. In a non-Muslim, England is not a Muslim country. It's not an Islamic country. Yeah, we have some Muslims there, but it doesn't make it. That does not make it to be an Islamic country. It's not an Islamic country. In fact, the percentage of the people in England of non-Muslims are more than the Muslims. But still, they still operate on Sharia banking compliance rules and regulations. We have so many Islamic banks over there that both the Muslims and the non-Muslims also they participate, they subscribe to in the non-Muslim countries. So that is Islam for you. That is Islam for you. It is all encompassing. It covers every angle of human life. Name it. Social, political, economic, individual, personal, interreligious, marriage, name it, there's nothing. There's nothing you will need that Islam will not have the rules and regulations. So our point of discussion here is that we relate with the people at the realm of the leadership and authority of the state in the sense that we listen to them, we obey their commands. And even if they call to jihad, jihad of war, then the Muslim soldiers must also listen and obey. The Muslim populace must also listen and obey. So we are talking of the jihad. Jihad does not mean war alone. Jihad means to make efforts. To make effort to make a negative positive. To make darkness light. To make bad good. To change something that is not supposed to be, to change it to what it's supposed to be. That is jihad. And this is seen in every human's life. Even those who are not Muslims, they also exercise the concept of jihad in Islam. So jihad does not mean to go into war alone. If your child misbehaves and you smack his bum bum, you correct his misdeeds, that is jihad. Because you want a child to become a good child. So you want him to change from bad to good. That is the essence. Yes, it happens among the husband and wife. Now the husband will find a way of doing jihad against his wife for her to change to better. That is jihad. So jihad is embedded in our life. It's in our life. So jihad means to strive, to make effort, to make negative positive, to change something that is bad, to turn something that is good. That is the meaning of jihad. Yes, to make effort to do something good is jihad. Even if you are trying to look for your way with all your means of sustenance, going for work, attending to job, in order for you to hand liquidity to for your upkeep, it is jihad. It is jihad because it is against theft, stealing. It is against being irresponsible. Being irresponsible, because if one does not work, you now have something to eat, to drink, to maintain your life, then one will be irresponsible on himself. And if one has some other people under him, then the irresponsibility will become widespread. It will affect the wife, affect the husband. A struggling husband is a mujahid. is a mujahid. So jihad is not restricted to war alone, as some people place those misconceptions on Islam. This is not Islam. We have jihad. Jihad in a general term to mean changing something that is not good to something that is good, preventing evil in order for us not to be affected by the evil when the evil comes, safeguarding the community from every evil, from every attack. It is jihad. Protecting your heart in order not to be stolen away by the devils, by the satans, is also part of jihad. So we have jihad in nafsi, when you make effort to protect yourself against the odds, against the evil things, the evil practices, that is jihad. So if you try to avoid drinking of alcohol, smoking, you try to avoid stealing, taking somebody's property to yourself without their consent, if you try to avoid taking of riba of interest, if you are trying to be good to your parents, be good to your children, your wife, this is a great jihad. It is a great jihad in Islam. That is one. Then we have the jihad al-munafiqun. Jihad al-munafiqun, when you fight against the hypocrites among the Muslims. This fighting does not have anything to do with their weapons. If at all we use weapons, it has to be knowledge. We use knowledge and references to serve those who are trying to blaspheme Allah, who are trying to contaminate the teachings of Islam. Calling Islam what Islam is not. There are many people like that. You can see the rejoinder from every angle against the Mudir of Markaz. Why? Because Mudir of Markaz is vituperating evils on Islamic teachings, and people stood up against him. That standing up against him is also jihad. It's also jihad. Not only him, similar people like him trying to distort the religion of Islam, trying to paint black the surface of Islam, the surface, the Quran, the Hadith, and so on and so forth. So going against this is what is jihad. Is jihad. Then number three, that is jihad al-mushrikun, fighting the jihad against the non-Muslims that who are trying to fight the Muslims, who are trying to fight the Muslims, or who are trying to prevent the expansion of Islam. Islam encourages this. But this is hanged upon the leaders, not the Muslim groups, not the Muslim societies, not every Muslim. No. Now less for them. It is the Muslim leader. It's the Muslim the authority that can do that. If they see it to be with the conditions attached to it, yes, it will be. But if they see it not to be because of the conditions are not being fulfilled, then what do you do? You keep quiet. It is not a license for you to take their responsibility into your hands. This is not Islam. Yes, this is not Islam. This is chaos. This is disorganization. This is not Islam. Islam rules. Islam has rules and regulations. This is not Islam. So, to the end of the world, the Muslim populace will continue to listen to the leaders and they obey them, regardless whether the leaders are upright or not. Yes, so far, those leaders still uphold the religion of Islam. Yes, they still see themselves as Muslims. Then, and they don't call to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't follow the path of the Khawarij, the extremists, who have labeled every Muslim leader to be what? To be non-Muslim. There are many people like that. They will say, the leader of the Saudi Arabia, they are non-Muslim. The leader of UAE, they are non-Muslim. the leader of this, the leader of that, they are not Muslim. What he's saying in lesson is that, yes, you don't listen to them, you don't obey them. In fact, if you have the means, you can destroy their society. And this is what the Al-Qaeda stands for. This is what Al-Qaeda stands for. This is what Boko Haram stands for. Look at Boko Haram. They've declared the people at the realm, the leadership of Nigeria to be what? To be infidel. The next thing, then, they kill everyone in Nigeria, both the Muslims and the non-Muslims. In fact, the Muslims are more affected, yes, in the victimization of the Boko Haram than the non-Muslims. That is it. The Muslims are more affected. The Muslims are more in danger because the. In fact, that is why you see that the war zone, the Boko Haram zone areas, they are Muslim dominated places. So many Muslims have been killed. Yes, they killed the non-Muslims too. They killed the non-Muslims, but the percentage cannot be compared. So they are Khawarij in Islam. They are Khawarij. They were Muslim extremists. Muslim extremists. What they do, what they call for, what they campaign for is nothing but dissolution. It is not Islam. It is not Islam. That is the one of the essence of giving us what the stance of Islam itself, the position of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Yes, this is what some people are lacking. And that made them to be attaching to Islam, what Islam is free from. Saying what the Boko Haram is doing is part of Islam. Some people will even say that if, because it's there in the Quran, that if you kill a non-Muslim, there are 72 virgins awaited you in the paradise. And if you continue asking them to bring that reference, that Quran chapter and that Quran verse in the Quran, I'm telling you, to the end of the world, they cannot find it. It is not there. It is not in the Quran. Neither it is written in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said that. Never said that. Yes. So killing a human being is not the goal of Islam. It is not the objective of Islam. No. War is not the goal of Islam. No. It's just a means. If there's need. It's just a need if there's need. It is not the goal. And we can see there's no country in the world that does not go into war. No country in the world to say that there shouldn't be any war. It's a dream. It's a dream. No country in the world that has never joined in one way or the other in the war party against the other. There are different ways of joining the wars. It could be direct, it could be indirect. It could be through supplying of weapons. It could be through economic. Economic sanction is one of the system of fighting against a country. Yes. Look at America. The people call the greatest country. The most loved country in the world is America by the people. Even to those who are going against America, you see them tomorrow getting the visa to pack themselves and find themselves in America. Look at America. What is America in doing in Iraq? What did it? Why did it go to Iraq? Why? You can see. So the hands of America and Iraq, the hands of America and in Afghanistan, and some other places like that. You know, just of recent, I think last year, they had intention to come to Nigeria in the name of fighting against Boko Haram. While some Christian bigots invited them, saying that it is only because that the case of Boko Haram is being affected. Subhanallah. So if America should come to Nigeria, they are not coming to Nigeria to defend us. No. They have their own interest. They have their own interest. Yes. Just like when the colonial masters came to Africa, they asked the people to close their eyes for prayer. And the Africans closed their eyes, not knowing that during that process, the colonial masters have taken their property away. By the time they opened their eyes, all the properties, all the African properties have been taken away. You can see it. So there's what you call denuclearization. Nuclearization is when is a campaign against possession of nuclear weapons. That is nuclearization. There's what we call denuclearization. That is a campaign against having nuclear weapons. So those countries who have possessed nuclear weapons, they are calling against denuclearization of those who have not possessed. Why those who have not possessed nuclear weapons, they are calling against nuclearization. You can see it. So if you say truly that you don't want everyone to own the nuclear weapon, then the one you have will be destroyed. Yes. The one you have should be destroyed. In fact, it gets to a point that having a nuclear weapon has become one of the means or the criteria to become one of the world leaders. That shows that war is embedded in human life, war. So there's no any society that does not have history of war. No any society. No, even Yoruba Empire engaged in more than 200 wars. More than 200 wars. Yoruba Empire. That is not even up to the Roman Empire or Persian Empire. Yoruba Empire. More than 200 wars. So that is human being for you. And what normally brings war, either by expansion of authority or by self-defense. Because when some people try to intrude into your territory, are you going to fold your hands? No. You go into war against them. And those who want to intrude, what's their intention? Expansion. That is it. That is it. Look at America with the case of the Venezuela. It is a country that is not fighting America. But America says that we are too small. The next thing, America organized a way to arrest the leader without the consent of the state, of the people, of the populace. That is the power. Yes, that is the power. So Islam is not the religion of you come to the mosque, you observe Salat, you fast in the month of Ramadan alone, you travel for Hajj alone. No, Islam has a system, political system, leadership system, state system. Yes, just like any other country in the world. But this is it comes in an organized way. Yes, not the way that you see many people. You may have some societies in Amukoko here where their leaders will be commanding the people, the members of the society, of that society. They see themselves as the leader, placing their leader in the position of the state leader, listening to him and obeying him, which they're not supposed to do. They are not supposed to do. It's only the state leader. Yes, the community, people are the highest level of authority that will listen to, will obey. In state or in the federal, in the above state. So that is Islam. Inshallah, we continue next week to take another form of responsibilities of of the leaders as established in Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge and to grant every one of us our iman and desire. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallama. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.